Well, praise the Lord. God is doing great things. It's exciting, all the things that he's doing. My message tonight, and the title I got, and it's The Brave New World. What's interesting, there's a book called The Brave New World, and it is... I tried to look online at some of the stuff about it, and it was like, it was really far out there. It was almost a prophecy of what is happening in the earth today. And I don't know when it was written. I think the author's name is Huxley or something like that. And I don't remember what year it was written, but he wrote it so that it was in the years of the 2000s, and it was almost like some of the stuff I was reading is almost like a prophecy, and then so I turned it off, and I said, I don't want to read this, I don't want to know about this, because it was pretty far out there about socialism and capitalism working together and the different things, and I was just like, I don't want to go there, but you know, our world is changing. It's changing politically, economically, and spiritually. And therefore, I believe that we have to have a new approach. So, now I'm not talking about evangelizing the world. I'm talking about how we approach what is happening in the world. And so, because I believe that we need to approach each new season. And this morning, Pastor Gordon was talking, and he used the scripture where Jesus said, "Follow me," and how they didn't stay at that one place where they had always been, but they were going somewhere new. And I thought, you know, because I was a little apprehensive about this message because it's edgy, and yet I could see, you know, where the leading of it was. And then when he was talking about Jesus, he didn't stay there at where he was at. He said, if you want to know, you got to go where I'm going. And that's sort of where we're headed tonight. So praise God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. And, you know, so we're going to approach, you know, we're going to look at a different approach of what God requires of us, and just how we need to maybe change. I know God said this morning in the Word, you know, don't change or something of that sort. And I thought, oh Lord, I got to go home and rewrite my message tonight because this is way, way off. Because, you know, we do have to learn how to change. We have to go where God is at. We have to do what God is telling us to do. But I want us to look at chapter 9, verse 14. I want to start there. Now, this is an odd scripture. It says, "Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away then from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine in new wineskins, and both are preserved." And this, I'm just trying to get you ready for where we're headed here, but I just, because, you know, new wine to me is a changing world. And the old wineskins can be religion. Now, he didn't tell them that they had to throw out the old wineskins. He just said, don't be putting or new wine into them. And so it kind of says to me here that, you know, that when new things and different things begin to happen, we can't gauge and approach them in the same manner that we always have. And when we try to apply our old religious ways to the new world, something is going to break or it's going to get ruined. And I thought, and when I was reading this over this evening before I came, and then he says, and no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. And if we, and I saw this so different than what we normally see this scripture as. You know, we normally see this as, you know, new wineskins and all. But the tear is made worse. We don't want to make things worse by not learning to approach what we are about to approach, to go into the next season that we are approaching. And I honestly do believe that we are approaching a new and different season, maybe something that we have never been familiar with before. And that's why, you know, in the Word today, I believe it when God said, "You stand firm on the solid rock, and it'll seem like you're rising above." And you know, and that's, we cannot throw out the Word. We can't throw, you know, that's, you, we stand firm on the Word. Never, ever give that up. But sometimes our approach needs to be just a different way that we look at it. Because sometimes we, with our religious behavior, and we all have religious behavior, we get that narrow, and what religion does is it starts out here and everything seems pretty good, but it just keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower till we're down to where we only see that little bit. And so we need to learn how to push off the religious things that we have held on to and some of our traditions and begin to break out and use new methods, because old methods sometimes will not work in this new world. And you know, one of the things that the old saying, it says, "We've never done it that way before." You know, the last words of a dying church. You know, and we don't want to be like that. We want to be able to receive the new wine. You know, we want to be able to receive the new way that God is going, because we can get pretty stuck in our old ways. I can. I have to admit. You know, I'm getting older, and I just, sometimes it's just easier to do it the way I've always done it before. It seemed to work pretty good. Why not stick with that method? So, you know, we need to think about, you know, what the way we approach our new world. One of the things I wrote down here was that the Word never changes, but religion doesn't change either. And that's a hard case sometimes, you know, that we have to look at. So we want to be open and willing to receive what new places, new things are that God is taking us into. I'm quite sure that when Jesus came and he began to speak with authority, and he began to teach the people, that this was quite different than anything that they had had for years. And they had had a little touch of it with John the Baptist, very little, but they had had some of it with him. And so when Jesus began to teach, I'm sure that this was quite unfamiliar with the people. They had, and so they had to be really open to what God was speaking and what he was saying. I mean, this was a whole different approach to what God had intended. I mean, he had written it in the Old Testament, but it was a total different approach than what they had ever approached it before. And thank goodness 12 people grabbed a hold of it, you know, and went on. But, you know, and so we've got to learn, we want to be open to the approach that God is taking us in and the way that he is leading us. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 3. Someone has taken Joshua out of my Bible. There it is. It fell out while I was studying or something. I have a long reading here for you, so if you'll bear with me. We're going to start chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bringing it, bearing it, Then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordans, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand in a heap. And so it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the water that went down to the sea of the Arabat, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. And it came to pass that when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Well, this is I know it was a long passage here, but this is really interesting in a way when we kind of look at it, at that we know that they had waited 40 years to cross over. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening here. And I'm sure that some of them were so ready to go. But we think, oh, hallelujah, they got to go across. But, you know, when we look at this situation, there were certain things that had to be done just so. But also, these people were going somewhere they had never, ever gone before. I mean, these were little children. Most of them were little children when they crossed the Red Sea, because it had been 40 years. So most of them, you know, when they crossed over the Jordan, you think about even an 8 or 9 year old, and even if they were 2 or 3 when they crossed, they wouldn't remember hardly at all. And the ones that were 8 and 9, that was just a big party. Everybody was going somewhere, you know. And so we think, oh, this is so great. They're going in the promised land. But as I read this, I thought, think of the fear and the intrepidation they had as they thought, oh my, we're going over to this place. We're leaving here. We're leaving the familiar desert, and we're going over, and there's mountains even over there. Just now, you know, you think, well, that sounds silly, but think about that, and think about us when we think about what God is doing new and where he's taking us, and we get we draw back a bit and think, oh my, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to take, and I think that these were the things that these people felt, you know, that they're going to leave the desert. They're going into a mountainous area. They're going to cross over land. They're going into a brand new world. And they had to do it just right, because I'm sure they heard some of the stories about some of the things that had happened before. And so, it was very, I think that some of them were probably a little nervous about where they were going. In verse 2, 3, and 4, it says, "And so it was after 3 days that the scribes went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priest bearing the Ark,'" he says, "set out from the place where you're at." He says, "now keep a distance from the Ark and don't come near it, but know that you have to pass over here. And for you've not passed this way before," he says. And I think that that's really interesting, because he says, "now you've never passed this way before." Even though they did it when they went through the Red Sea, there were still many, many people that were born in the desert that hadn't done this before. And so, you know, they're going to a new place. And it's just, it's almost like God is doing that with us, you know, that he's taking us someplace that we've never been before. And sometimes I think that we need to go someplace new. Sometimes I feel like we need to break out of the barrier that we've been in, and just the church at large with God. I think he's, you know, trying to break us out of where we are and take us to someplace new and begin a new life and start over and not forgetting the past, because they didn't forget the past, but getting a new start, because God's going to do great things. He's going to do great things. And it's very interesting, because that Joshua says to the people, he says, "follow the priest." Now, he didn't say follow the commander or follow the scribes, don't follow the government, don't follow the people. You know, you have to know who to follow. It's interesting to me that he even said, "don't follow me." You know, and in Exodus, I'll just turn there real quick for you and read in Exodus 14, 15, and 16. This is when they crossed the Red Sea. It said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel will go on dry land through the midst of the sea.'" Even their commander wasn't the one that was leading them. Joshua didn't lead them across the water. We don't know where Joshua came across that. We don't know if he came in first, he came out last, he came out in the middle. We have no idea. It doesn't say to us. But it says that the priest went first. And I thought that was so different. You know, we have to follow the way that God says to follow. And Joshua made that very clear when he was telling the people, keep a distance from the ark and just go across. When you see the priest touch the water, go. Because there was thousands and thousands and thousands of them that had to cross, just like they did in the Red Sea. And so, you know, we can't let people pick who we follow. We have to follow God, and we have to be the one who picks who we follow. And it's, you know, we've got to pick for ourselves who we are going to go after and follow in this case. And so, and I, you know, I think that we're in a situation here in the earth today that we have got to know who is the right person to follow, you know, and to do it in the order that God is saying. It's just like I said in the opening, God is saying, step here, now step here. Now step over here. You know, he's guiding us in where to step, and we have to follow in the direction that he's telling us to follow. It's very important that we follow the way he wants us to follow. In verse 5, he says, sanctify yourselves. And this is an interesting word. It, of course, it's sanctify means to be clean, ceremonially and worldly, to dedicate and prepare yourself. You know, he's saying to us, he said, dedicate yourself and prepare yourself, which is totally different than just, you know, we think about sanctifying ourselves, we just got to get all the sin out. You know, clean up and just don't sin. But actually, he's, you know, when he says dedicate yourself and prepare, to me it says something totally different. And if you've been in the Sunday school class, and it's a different way of thinking, and if we prepare ourselves in that way of changing the way that we think about things and changing the way that we see things, you know, and set yourself to follow what God says to do or what the leader says to do, because, you know, we've just gotten so comfortable with the things the way they are. I kind of like the way things are. And, you know, and you can always use this. I obey the word. And, you know, and you can obey the word and not be following God. You know. You can't, and you're trying, and what you'll try to do is you'll be trying to put that new wine in them old wineskins, and something's going to break. Something's going to get hurt. So, you know, what's wrong with the way we've always done it? You know, that's another one. What's wrong with the way, you know, like I said, I'm getting older, and sometimes that excuse is really good for me. Well, what's wrong with the way we've always done it? It always worked before. God always showed up. God has always moved, you know. And I don't know if I heard this somewhere this week, and I don't know if it was an evangelist or just somebody that said it, but they said, shift ground as the ground shifts. And I wrote that down right away because I thought, that is so cool. But you got to shift ground because the ground shifts. And that's a truth. I don't know if that was a biblical truth or just a truth, but it is a truth because the ground is shifting. And where you're standing might not be real stable. So you need to shift where you're standing to a steady ground and be on that steady ground. And I thought that is such a neat statement. Shift ground because the ground shifts and because the ground is shifting. I mean, all you have to do is watch a little TV, pick up a newspaper, or hear people talk, ground shifting. And so we got to be ready to shift. God always tells us that we are to prepare ourselves. And what is need here? And he says, if you'll prepare yourself and dedicate yourself and get yourself, I think, more mentally ready than any. If you'll get ready, the Lord will do wonders among you. Isn't that the coolest thing? We talked about this Wednesday night. If we abide in him, he will come and do great things, but it's because we are abiding in him. You know, when he shifts, when the ground's shifting, we got to just jump on the ground where God's at. You know, if we just stand still and we don't prepare ourselves mentally to do what God is telling us to do, things will happen and he won't be able to do great things. But he says, if we'll get ourselves ready, he will do great things. I think that is so cool. God is going to do wonders among us. Amen? Amen. So sometimes that new wine, it's good. You know? It may be a little different, but it's exciting and it's good. So praise God. In verse 9, he says, first in verse 8, when I read this, he says, when you come to the edge of the Jordan, you stand in the Jordan. And he's telling the priest. And now, you know, this is my mindset. I apologize for this because it's got to change. Because I'm going to put Gordon in Joshua's position. If Gordon said, now you go over here and you stand and everybody follow along. I'd expect Gordon to go over there and stand with us and walk in, but he didn't say that. He said, when the priest touched the water, you go crossed. He didn't say, now follow me, troops, you know. He said, watch the priest. Whatever the priests do, you follow them. And I think that, you know, it's a matter of getting yourself ready to do whatever God says to do. And so we've got to, it may not be the biggies. It may, you know, who knows. But he says then in verse 9, Joshua said to the people, the children of Israel, come hear and hear the words of the Lord. And I thought this was so interesting because wasn't that the thing that got him in trouble? Because Moses said, come over to the mountain and hear the words of the Lord. And they said, no, we want no part of this. You go up and you hear what God's got to say, and then you come down here and tell us. And that is where they started having all the problem. Because they didn't want to hear God for themselves. But he says, hear the word of the Lord. And obviously they listened. You know, and he began to tell them what God was going to do. And I know that God didn't speak to them directly at this point because he has priests at this point because of all that's been set up. But I thought this was the very thing that got them in trouble when they came across the Red Sea and started setting up camp, because God wanted to speak to them and be with them and talk with them and have fellowship with them. And they refused. They pushed him away. They said no. They didn't want anything to do with it. But Joshua says, hear the word of the Lord. And they listened. And that's, you know, it's so important to listen to what God is doing. Because if they had not listened at that point, many of them would have died. Because they would have gotten way too close to the ark, or who knows, or ran out ahead, or we don't know. But they obviously did listen. And then in verse 14, it says, and so when the people set out of their camp to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And here again, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people crossed over on dry land. Now, we just think that this is just wonderful that this was dry land. But when you think about this, these priests had to stand there and hold this Ark this whole time. There was the supernatural act. You know, it wasn't that they crossed over on dry land. Well, that was. Sorry, Lord, but that was. But the think about these priests. They had to stand there for that whole time. And to me, that is a miracle in itself, that they stood there this whole time. And, you know, sometimes for us, if God tells us to stand still, we need to stand still. And if he tells us to hold the ark, we need to hold the ark. And he will give us what we need to hold on. He will give us supernatural supply. He will give us supernatural strength and faith. And he will help us if we will obey him and do what he calls us to do. So I think that in itself was such a miracle, to think that these priests, however, I think there's six, I think that's what the requirement is, six, is three on each side, something like that. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and study it. Held the Ark of the Covenant for this whole complete time. Now, can you imagine what these people saw as they crossed over? It said that the waters backed up into a heap, but it backed up from a distance, but it was all dry all the way down. And you know, the wonder of, is it going to hold out? You know, and you know, and because it held up for a distance, some of the people maybe way back in the back of the line were thinking, oh, I hope they hurry up, because I just don't know how long that's going to hold, you know. These are natural things that people think. And so, praise God, they just obeyed God and went on and did what, and can you imagine the 12 men that had to go back and get rocks and thinking, oh, they want more. But if we just obey God, that's what we need to do. We need to obey God. Well, here's three things in this scripture that I want us to get ready to do. And it's just three small things. And according to verse 5, we need to get ourselves ready, mentally more than physically or even spiritually. Because personally, I think that we get good word in this place, that we have a great foundation, a spiritual foundation. We all know the word. You mean this would be no excuse for us, because we do know the word. But mentally, we have got to to get ourselves together to the point that we will not hesitate, that we'll just obey God, and that we won't second guess and get ourselves ready. That's part of that sanctifying and just preparing ourselves. It's not about, don't take this wrong, it's not about being holy. It's about getting yourself together. You know, because when we prepare ourselves, you'll get holy. When you set yourself to obey God and prepare to obey Him, you'll be holy. And you know, sometimes we work so hard at just not doing bad things, you know, and when you do that, you focus on the bad things, where if you'll just focus on the good things, the bad things will be pushed back, and you won't desire the bad things any longer. And that's the best way to create a new habit, that bad thing that you don't want to do. Well, every time the bad thing and thought comes up, think, change your mind. Think about something different. But that's what we have to do. We have to prepare ourselves to do what God says, that He might do something totally different. We have to recognize that the world is not the way it was 30 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, look at the electronics and all of the, I mean, just everything has basically changed in the last 20 years. And yet, as a body of Christ in general, I mean, you know, as a whole, not us necessarily, but in a whole, we still want to do it the same old way. We still want everything to be like it was 20 years ago. And sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes it does, and that's good. We can't throw the old out. He never told us to throw the old wineskins out. He just said that when you get new wine, put it in the new bottles. So, you know, we got to be versatile, ready to, you know, to operate in whatever manner that God is telling us, because we want to be ready. We want to do what God says to do. And just today, I've just been thinking over and over and over about Oral Roberts and the healing ministry, you know, and how different that was. I mean, that was a brave new world that man stepped into. It was. I mean, this was something that had never happened before, never gone on. And I'm sure that there was people that had prayed for the sick in some manner, somewhat. But nothing like Oral Roberts. I mean, he was televised. And can you imagine we don't have to imagine. We know the persecution that this man went through. And yet he pressed on to do. He decided that he was going to do what God said to do. He sanctified himself. You know, he didn't say, well, I got to get all holy and clean and I can't do it because I have imperfections. No, he prepared his mind to say, I'll do what God tells me to do. I'm going to follow what God tells me to, where He tells me to go. And I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to do it God's way because I don't want to get out of line. I don't want to step, you know, over too close to where I'm not supposed to be. Because, you know, sometimes we, as just people in general, we push it real close to the edge. And, you know, and sometimes that ground is shifting, and you fall right off the edge. And in the word from Kenneth Copeland that Gordon mentioned today, you know, if you're out there doing stuff and you're getting close to the edge, you might have time to ask for forgiveness. By the time you hit the bottom, it's too late. You know, He can't help you. And we don't want to be in that place. We want to be in a place to prepare ourselves, get ourselves ready to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And then the second thing is to follow whomever God sends. Follow the man or the woman of God. This is not the time to say, I can do this myself. You know, and as charismatics, we throw this scripture out. It says, the Holy Spirit teaches us and leads us, and we have no need of a teacher, the Holy Spirit. This is not the time for that scripture. That scripture is a good scripture. It's the Word of God. But this is not the time to say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it myself. This is a time where we need each other. We need to follow one another and follow after the person that God has set out front and follow what God is telling us. And we know who those people are. I mean, you don't have to search. Your heart tells you. your spirit aligns with their spirit. And you can, you know, and I think about some of these pastors that have these mega churches, and people think, but look at all of the people that are in his church. He must be doing what is right. Not necessarily. You know, but people will go to those churches and they'll follow after those people and they'll follow their ministry because they have such a big following. They must be right. That's not necessarily true. Listen to your heart. You know, do what God is telling you to do. Follow after the man of God and the woman of God who, you know, God is taking us somewhere new. Don't go alone. You know, don't go alone. You know, don't say, I can do this myself. I don't need anybody. And there's times in life when we have the tenacity to pull our bootstraps up and say, I can do this. But, you know, now is the time when God is telling us, you know, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. New people, I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. But that, you know, he's telling us, stick together. You know, there's power in numbers. And we need to remember that. Stick together and stay close together. And the third thing would be to recall the great things that God has done. In verse 6, you know, Joshua spoke to the priest and they took up the ark. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will exalt you in the sight of Israel, just as I did to Moses. You know, we've got to recall the great things that God has done. And in chapter 4, I'm going to read 21 through 24 here. I didn't read these earlier, but I want to read these. It says, and then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask your fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over. And all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You know, we have to recall the great things that God has done. And this is one thing that Joshua did here. He says, remember the Red Sea, how God dried up the Red Sea. Well, he did the same thing for you. And we need to recall the great things that God has done. We need to recall. And you know, that just kind of stirs you up and gives you confidence. You know, that God does do great things. You know, because the church has been going through a bit of a dry spell, you know, and who knows, you know, what God is about to do. And if we'll recall that God does do great things, and it makes us grateful for the things that God has done. You know, Joshua came across in the Red Sea, and he saw the great thing that God had done there. And so he had confidence that God could do it and would do it again. When God said to him, I'm going to part the seas again, he probably had very little doubt about it. You know, he had seen Moses do this. And it's just like, yeah, God does great things. You know, and that helps build our faith. It stirs us up. And when we see miracles happen, you know, it stirs up because, yes, God does heal. He does deliver. He helps. And that causes your faith. It causes you to believe that God does do that and will do it again. You know, and so we have to recall those great things that God has done. And then in verse 24, he says there, so that the people will know that the hand of the Lord, it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord. And he's talking here about fear. It's a worship. They will worship the Lord. We've got to worship the Lord. You know, we recall so that we can worship the Lord. We recall the great things that God has done so that we can worship him for the great things that he does do. That's what worship is all about. It's about the great things that God has done. Because he is so wonderful. He is so great. I mean, for 40 years, these people had been taken care of in the wilderness. And now God is about, I mean, he had done great things in the wilderness. And yet, to me, I think God was thinking that, this is good in the desert, this is good, but this will be better. You know, and yet, can you see the fear of moving into the new world, even though God says it's better? It's like, yeah, but this was real comfortable over here, and it was good because God was taking care of him. But if we recall, yes, God took care of us. He helped us. He made provision for us. God will continue to do that. So we got to recall the great things that God does. Amen. Well, you know, up until about 5 or 10 years ago, things were pretty constant. You know, things were pretty dependable. We basically knew from day to day how things were going to go. Even year by year, you could pretty well guess, you know, how things would come about. But we're entering into a brave new world. And it can be a little scary to think about. But as we enter into the brave new world, we have to remember the old wineskins may not work. And we have to be willing to change. And we might have to shift ground because the ground is shifting. And we want to be ready to do that. So if we'll just, you know, stay on path, we stay on those things that God is telling us to do. And they're easy things. God never, ever gives us difficult things to do. He never does. They're not difficult. We make them difficult, but they're never difficult, what God asks us to do. And if we just depend on Him, and follow after Him. And He has been so good to us, and especially this past year. Like I said, step here, step there, step here, do this. And as we have followed, God has blessed us. He's taking us. But we have got to continue in that pathway. We've got to continue to follow God in that manner. Because I just think that we might be coming into some things that we're not familiar with. And you know, when you get into an unfamiliar territory, it's so easy just to back off. You know, step back and sometimes say, well, let some of the others go ahead there and let them, you know, lead the way. And that's not what God is telling us. He's telling us, come on, I'm taking you, and I want you to go with me, and I want you to do this. Because I think it's going to take a new church, a new kind of people, a new kind of Christian to bring in people nowadays. Because people are so hardened and so different than what they used to be. The gospel was so easy many, many years ago. Most of the people in my generation were brought up in church. You know, your parents went to church. That's what you did on Sunday. You went to church. And so you were brought up in church. And nowadays we have children that have no idea what church is. They have no idea what Sunday school is. If you'd ask them who Moses was, they'd probably say the guy that lives down the street. You know, because they don't know and they don't know about these things. They don't know who Isaiah was. You know, they say, Isaiah, he's my friend. You know, we ask them about Daniel. Well, he's a boy in my Sunday school class, or in my school class, because they don't go to Sunday school and learn these things. They have no idea. So we're entering into an area that we have never ever gone before. We can't assume anything, and we almost can't rely on anything in the past other than God and what He has done. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. We're ready to go. I'm ready to go into this new world. I'm ready to do what God wants to do. You know, I'm. This is maybe a selfish thing, but I want to go where God wants to go so God can get this thing wrapped up. You know, because things aren't good. They're not like the good old days. You know, the good old days are gone. But there are gooder days ahead if we follow God. He keeps telling us in the word, in His words of the Lord, and just different people, you know, have the words. If we'll just follow Him, He has great things, good things in store for us, exciting things. And I don't want to be the one on the lower ground looking up thinking, oh, I wish we had done that. I wish I had done that. I wish I'd been there. You know, we're going to be there. We're going to do what God says to do. Amen. Amen. We're going to follow after God. We're just going to, it's been so easy this past year. And, you know, and I look at the things that we have been taught and we have learned and the teachings, and you think, how could I have not known so much? You know, you think that you've grown to the age when you know pretty much everything, and it should be pretty, you know, you should be pretty smart by now, you know, and yet the teaching that we're getting is just like, how could I have not known this? How did I survive this long with so little knowledge about what is going on? And yet it's been so easy. It's been so relaxed and so simple because God is just like I said, step here, do this, step there, come on, you know, and just leading us along. And we're just going to follow him like sheep people. Amen. I'm a sheep people. You're a sheep people. We're good trees. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Father God, that you called us sheep people. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, that you see us as sheep in your fold. And Father, you said that your sheep know your voice. And so we declare, and we know, we hear your voice, and we know it's your voice, Lord God. And so, Father, just continue to speak to us, lead us and guide us. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you for this new world that we're entering into. It's exciting. It's scary sometimes, but Father God, it's fun. And it's exciting to know that you are taking us someplace new. And we love to go new places and learn new things. And it's so wonderful, God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that even though we are a small congregation, you have not left us. And you don't make it so we have to catch up. We're right in there with you, and we're current with your spirit and what is going on. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. And Father, we pray that we would be a light in this city, that we would be a people that would preach the gospel, and that we would be a place that would reach out and draw people in. We'd be just like a big old magnet, a house of bread, God, where we're baking bread and the smell just draws the people in here. That's what we want, Lord. We want people to come because we know the good things that you're doing in our lives, the good things that you're doing in this place. We know that, Father God, that what you're doing here will help us to live and to do what is right in the earth. And we want that for all people. We want that for everybody in this city, in this area. We want them to know how to live successfully in you, Lord God. To be prosperous in you, to be healthy in you, Lord God. Oh, our desire is for you, the people to come to know you as Savior and Lord, because that is the best thing that they could ever have in their life. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done in the past year for us to teach us and lead us. And we're looking forward to this next year, what you're about to do in our lives, individually and corporately. We give you all praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.